G'day, Dwayne.
Hey, there, Matty. Welcome to you, Matty. Great to have you on.
Yeah, thank you very much, Matty. Yeah, I thought I'd come in a bit early and do this live on in the studio.
Nice work. It's good to have you permanently as part of the team. Now, Matty, are you excited about the trade period? There could be a fair bit of big name movement.
Oh, there is a lot going on, isn't it? And I heard someone this morning saying that this time last year, Danaher hadn't decided he wanted to go to Sydney. So expect a bit more to go on as some deals fall into place.
So do you expect Jeremy Cameron to go to the Cats? What do you think they might have to pay for Jeremy now that sort of the dust has settled on him nominating Geelong?
Well, you've got to assume that they're going to pay him enough to get the first round compensation, but obviously GWS don't think that's going to be enough, and it really isn't. It doesn't satisfy them. They would have put it in their TPP that they could match this offer, so the threat of matching the offer says that Geelong want to get it done, they'll have to trade. How they do that, as I've said before, I think last week, Wellesley always has a habit of getting stuff done. So if they have to trade, they really don't want to give up all those first-round picks in a super draft this year, Dwayne. But I don't know how they do it unless there's players that want to go. They've probably got a few players on their list that can't quite get in their team that GWS could use, but will remain to be seen what happens with that. But you're thinking maybe a trade gets it done. That threat of always matching the bid tends to get a trade done pretty quick.
And the Saad and dealing with Essendon, it tends to take sometimes a little bit longer. Do you think that might be one of those that drag out? Do you think we're going to get a situation where the first week of trade week we don't get a lot done and we get this accelerated last 3 days where the craziness starts?
Well, Adrian Dodoro's got a habit of leaving it till the last minute. But I don't think he can with this one because they're trying to get Caldwell in, trying to do a few other deals as well to replace the Danaher's and Fantasia and Saad. So you better get that in your hot little hand if you can get it first, and then you might be able to do some other deals. But if you haven't got it, as we saw last year with Papley, didn't we, and Danaher, probably that deal would have got done if Sydney let Papley go to Carlton, and Carlton send the picks to Sydney, and Sydney send them to Essendon, that would have got done. But Sydney holding on to Papley said that it wasn't going to get done. So get in early, get it done, and let's everyone be a winner instead of having winners and losers.
Do you think Richmond will add to their stock? Do you think they'll have a couple of players depart now and get a big dollar elsewhere, and it'll allow them to get a draft pick or two in what you expect to be a great draft, or even try and recruit a big name or two to add to their immediate stock?
Well, they've traded out, obviously, Ellis last year, Wingman. They've got plenty of them. They've got plenty of small forwards, and all the talk is Higgins might want to go, and they'll be interested in Higgins because he's a great little player. Hard to get into their team at the moment, and plus they've got no injuries. So they've got great depth there, and some of those players, they'll be wanting to play AFL footy, and they're very capable. Any other team, they're probably playing AFL football. So they'll lose a few of those. Will they want to lose them? Not really, but they have to. And it'll probably help with their salary cap as well. With some of their, they've got highly paid players there, obviously. Maybe a few are back-ended contracts and they need the money too there, but they'll just take their picks. I don't think, well, they don't really need anything, Richmond, at the moment. They got, Lynch to help Jack Riewoldt. Bolter's jumped up in defence, great replacement for Rance. They're not old. They're still in the wheelhouse for more premierships. I don't think they need a heap. They've got backup rucks, backup defenders, great midfielders. I'd be just taking a few picks and trying to get some kids onto their list at the end of the year.
And do you think Cameron Higgins added to Geelong puts them well and truly in the last four again next year?
Absolutely. So, obviously Ablett's retired. You've got to assume, he had a good final series, and he had a good year, really, Harry Taylor. So that's a big decision to make, but they might need his money. I don't think he'd be on a heap of dough, but they might need his money to pay for Cameron and obviously Higgins coming in. But Higgins, what a great replacement for, at his best, great replacement for Ablett. Cameron takes the pressure off Hawkins, who sort of struggled a little bit against Bolter and Asprey on the weekend. It adds another dimension to them. Probably means They've got to play faster footy, which they showed you in the finals. They look really good when they do that. But they're going to be tough to beat again. And, Dwayne, honestly, if you watch that game back again, like I did this afternoon, four or five minutes to go, they're still right in this game. And everyone's pretty damn nervous on the Richmond side. Just couldn't get the game done. So, you know, they were right there at the end and had a familiar ring to it, didn't it, from that final last year where they sort of dominated the first half and then couldn't get a kick a goal last year in the second half, and they only kicked two in the second half this year again. So that's why the Jeremy Cameron thing will work.
So watching it back again today, what in hindsight do you think the Cats could have done to stop what happened? Should they have had a specialist that had been refined to the point that they knew it was going to be the Dustin Martin job come meeting Richmond in the grand final or any final? Because we kind of had the idea that to beat Richmond, you're going to have to beat Dusty.
Well, they had the right bloke, Colladasny. He's done the job on smalls, talls for most of the year, done a great job. Look, he kicked four great goals, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he bounced two from 50 virtually. He's hooked one from the boundary line after Stanley gave up a handball to him. And the first one he kicked to just give him that, get him close at half time. I mean, Colladasny was hanging off him when he's grabbed it in one arm and hooked it over.
A little push off.
I mean, he's kicked four superstar goals. How do you stop that? Selwood got it right. Really hard to stop that sort of stuff. He's got a habit of doing it. I know Collingwood in that final, when they beat him there at the preliminary final a few years ago, had Greenwood on him, and Greenwood went back in defence on him. But I got a feeling Dusty wasn't 100% fit that day. He might have had a bit of a hip problem or something like that. But, who's got the perfect player to play on him? I'm not sure there is one. You've got to be great on the ground. You've got to be strong as an ox. You've got to be – he's not going to beat you in the air, you know that. But and you've got to be able to lay strong tackles on him. He's extremely difficult to beat.
Would you have put Dangerfield in the middle more often now that you've watched it back, especially in that third term?
I would have liked to have seen – I can't remember if he started the third term in there, but I would have – you know, they're 15 points up. You know Richmond have strong second halves. I'm putting my best in there, and he's obviously one of the best. And let's worry about the score. Let's get it in there first and worry about the scoring second. And, you know, that third quarter, they couldn't get it in there. I would have – yes, certainly when I was watching it the first time, then I watched it back, I said, need to spend more time in the midfield – Selwood and who was playing great, I thought, but Parford and the likes just and weren't quite getting it done at Guthrie and the likes. So they needed.
What else did you make of the tactical battle?
Well, I didn't see it was a massive tactical battle. I just saw that Richmond keep playing the same way they play. Geelong played the same way they normally play. I thought they did play quite fast and they slowed it down when they needed to. They held the ball in their second quarter. They stopped the ball coming back out. They were very good there, Geelong, and that's why they dominated the quarter. Thought Richmond's pressure in the second half just went up a tad. They're tackling. I like to use the term that they are the best hunt-the-ball team that I've ever seen. And there was a classic example in the last quarter when it was tight. I think was it Dusty when he kicked his goal, bounced one through. But they got the ball out of defence and it went to a contest. They contested that. But there was five or six of them who swarmed on the ball. And I think Stewart got a hold of it and he handled to the bloke. Then it got intercepted by another three or four Richmond players that came down the ground. And they end up kicking a goal out of it. And that's what they've been doing for the last four years. Playing that same way, that they've got the license to back themselves, leave their man, hunt the ball, and they do it in numbers, and they score goals in all different ways. And their game still suits their players. So I thought their ground level was where they were influential in that second half. And when you look at the players they've got compared to what Geelong have got, as ground level players, you look at Bolton, Pickett, Dusty, Cochin, Edwards, Graham, Short, Castagna, Hooley, Lambert, Prestia. Well, Vlaston went out early. Rioli, great ground level, high agility players with great ball handling and kicking skills. And the way they play really suits those type of players. They've got the bookends. They've got blokes who can play in defence on tall and small, like Flastoon and Grimes. They're just a really good balanced team that play a game style suited to their players. And it's a very, very difficult game style to break down because players are playing with so much confidence. And when they're happy to leave their players and just run and back themselves, that's when you've got your team right in the area where you want them to be. Where they've got that confidence to be able to do that, and they are super confident, aren't they?
So have they changed footy a bit, Matty? Have they let every other club know, here's what you have to do to win a flag in the modern era? Will it change the way that recruiters go about it? Will it change the style of player they try and get to their club early or try and get to their club even late or as mature players?
As recruiters, we watch this week in, week out. Because they have the density rule in the under-18 competition. So it's fairly open. So we watch players hunt the ball and take the game on week in, week out. That's what we love to see, and it gives us the best... makes it easier to judge the players on their ability than have the game being close all the time, be a tackle fest. So what we're seeing from Richmond is what we see every week, and as recruiters, we love it. And I love what Fagan's done at Brisbane. Kenny Hinckley, we've spoken about that. He's changed his game style to Richmond-esque over the last 2 years. So those top four teams all play a very similar brand, but Richmond are just a bit better at it than them at the moment. But they'll get there. And a few of the other clubs who are playing slow footy and not taking the game on, they've got to step up to play this game. I don't think you can't beat them by playing a slow game against Richmond and those likes. That's why they finished where they finished. You play a slow game, you're not going to score enough against these teams, and you've got to be able to score.
So do you think there's a few other clubs, and I don't want to throw Collingwood at you, you know, individually, but let's put Collingwood in a bracket of a few other clubs that if they change their pattern, their attitude, their style, and become less defensive-minded, more attacking and quicker... they've got the players already on their list to flip it, or do you think they're going to have to recruit to flip it?
No, I don't. No one's got Richmond, the amount of depth Richmond's got through those on-ball players who can play everywhere. And let's not forget, Richmond's defence is super at the same time, so they're very well organised, and they always have one deep. They always have one behind the last attacking player, so they never get caught out the back. That's not hard to do. That's pretty easy to organise because always there's forwards coming up the ground, so you can peel one off. They're very well organised and they get in and help out in defence. Now, Dusty's the only one who doesn't, and you want him playing forward or centre, but everyone else gets back and then they'll swarm forward with the ball. Doesn't always work for them. Actually, Collingwood have probably got the best record over the last few years against Richmond because they actually stop them from scoring as well. And it becomes a very dour game when they play them. So some of the teams just haven't got enough players compared to Richmond to play that way, but they're getting there. Footy's all the better for it, isn't it, Dwayne?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I asked you the question, because to take it one step further, well, we remember Richmond when they were a little different. Dusty and Trent Cotchin got a lot of their possessions behind the ball. Mm. Didn't count that much, and I'm trying to work out whether, because they didn't have a second key forward, so they kind of had this chase down, relentless pressure forward line that they had to have through necessity. I'm not sure they deliberately did it, but then all of a sudden that chase down pressure started creating goals and they became a really high scoring team. So it looked as if it almost happened because they had to go with it themselves because they didn't have that second key forward.
Yeah, they had the smaller forward line, much like Collingwood did in 2018 when they played fast and, you know, about five blokes kicked 40 goals that year. So the other interesting thing watching it back to is that they're very good if they get in the forward line and it's held up about not getting it back out. As Geelong were great in the first, second quarter, particularly the first half, but Richmond were great in the second half doing that. But what teams need to do, I've found, is they need to get a better handle on getting the ball out of defence when opposition are trying to lock it in. I always look at it and I go, everyone's trying to get the ball going out. So everyone's spread all out over the place. I don't know why they don't come up with better plans about swarming one side of the field or swarming even the centre when the other team is spread out in a zone. Team's got to spend a lot more time working out how to get out of defence on a slow play because top teams are really good at holding in there.
The old ballsy game style, which you played under, where they sort of congregated at centre-half back for the kick-in.
So that was interesting because I'll give you a little bit of history of that because we ended up with strength and conditioning person Chris Jones, who came from Oregon University as an Englishman, and he came over with Tony Knight, who was an Australian who also worked as a lecturer at Oregon University. So they used to watch a lot of American football, obviously college football more so. And I remember one of their comments they made in the first year I was there in 1981, they said, you know when you kick out, because they didn't know much about Australian rules footy, yeah. Tony Knight did, he said, you know when you kick out, how come you don't set it up for one player to get the ball? And I go, I don't know, we just kick it to the ruckman and you know, hope for the best. They said, why don't you come up with some plans? So we came up with some plans where we had the huddle at centre-half back and we set up Roosey in particular down the middle of the ground and everyone would scatter, and because teams played one-on-one there, they followed you. It was easy to get one out of the loop, out of the huddle. So we actually worked on a few plans for the kickouts, and I think teams next pre-season need to work on plans to get the ball out of a slow play where the ball's stuck in defence, and the team's got a great zone set up. So it'll be interesting to see if clubs do that next year because that's what Geelong really struggled with in the second half.
Great to have a chat to you, Matt. Always good to be able to pick your brain. I really appreciate it. I know you're on Trade Radio, so I better let you get away and get a sandwich before you're on. But it's really good to have you as part of the permanent Trade Radio team. So we'll talk to you quite a bit in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Trane. Much appreciated.